should be good. All right, guys. Welcome to class number 20. We are, for reference point, in at page 219, and I have to come up with a new line other than "all right, guys," because I've been told I do that at the beginning of every single class. So I'm going to have to come up with a new one for next week. You'll have to help me out with that. So, all right. So we are, if you were to look at the section we're going to look at tonight in the book, we are at page 219. Now that means we've skipped a few parts that we will go back and look at in future classes. But nonetheless, we're roughly at page 219. So just a thing for the guys at this end, we do not need to pass the microphone around. Uncle Brent is going to keep that microphone muted until I ask you guys to read, and then we'll turn that microphone up, and it should pick up everybody in the room. So we don't need to be passing the microphone around anymore. We should be able to pick everybody up. And Aunt Jen, are you right there? No, Caleb. Actually, Caleb, if you want to move that other microphone just behind Levi, then we'll be able to pick up anybody reading over there as well. All right, so we're going to be looking at the kingdom of God this week. Last class, if you remember, we looked at the section that was to do with the kingdom of Babylon, right? Babel, the beginning of the kingdom of men. So this week, we're looking at the kingdom of God as it's being established. And everybody should have one of these sheets. We have extras. If anybody doesn't have one, put your hand up. I can pass you one. It's the foundation of the kingdom. Everybody have one? Okay. There's a bunch. We can pass out that way. These sheets, this is like a workbook that is a whole bunch of sections we've already done. Lessons 1 to 5 or worksheets 1 to 5. We've already covered that material, but this will be helpful to you guys in trying to put together some Bible marking. If you haven't done some of the Bible marking from the last few classes, there's a little section at the end on Bible marking that will be helpful to you. You will need to look up a couple of the Strong's numbers, but you can turn this week to lesson number 6 or worksheet number 6, which I believe in some copies is around page 11. Some may be a little bit different. But lesson number 6 starts on page 11 and then goes to pages 12, and then we have 13 and 14. That's the section we're going to be. So just have that out and ready so that we can use it. Did you need to know the number, Brent, at all? Or did you? Yes. And then he needs that meeting code right there. Yeah, he punches that number in too. Yes, we have many more copies. Certainly we can. Just pass those over. The meeting code one? Access code is the one he needs. They're actually the same thing, but I think. All right. So we are going to start by just a little bit of review. We looked at the beginning of the kingdom of men. So you should have your worksheet, but you also need your notebook out because we're not going to do the worksheet till towards the end of the class. So I just wanted you to have it there, make sure everybody's got one. But get your notebook out so you can take some notes. And we want to be with the kingdom of men. I have some pencils. There's some pens in a thing in the middle there if anybody needs them. So just by way of review, we looked at a process that's been going on. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, if you remember at the beginning, we were looking at two seeds, right? The seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent, right? And then we looked at two ways. At the end of Genesis, the cherubim were protecting the way to the tree of life. And then there was those who were going in the way of Cain when we came to Genesis chapter 4. Remember in chapter 6, we had all men had corrupted God's way on the earth. and were going and doing what was right in their own eyes. So there was the way of the world, known as man's way or Cain's way, and then there's the way of God. We had two names, if you remember. Genesis chapter 4, we had at the end of that, or actually moving right on into just prior to the flood, what we called the pre-flood or the antediluvian apostasy. Remember that big long word? Diluvian meaning deluge or a big flood of water, right? And there we had two names. Remember Cain named his cities after his son, or Enoch his son did as well. And we had the seed of the woman, the godly people, who named their children after the name of Yahweh, or after the name of the Lord, as we read it in the King James Version. So, out of that, we had Nimrod, if you remember, in Genesis chapter 10. He built a city. Does anybody remember the name of that city? What was the name of the city that was built by Nimrod? Caleb, do you remember? No? Come on. You know what it is. Two cities, okay? Follow this along. See the woman, see the serpent. Cain, Abel, the two sons. The way of the Lord and the way of man. Two cities. $1 million question. What were the two cities?
Nineveh,
very close. Nineveh,
Rabah.
And there was it was the beginning of his kingdom, right? The kingdom of
Babel,
right? So we have the kingdom of Babel, which became known as Babylon. Okay, so the kingdom of Babel or the kingdom of Babylon. What do you think the other city is? If you got Babylon on one side, what's the other city going to be that is in opposition to Babylon? I can hear it. Jerusalem. Thanks. Jerusalem is your other city. Okay, so we're going to look at the foundation of that city tonight. We're going to look at how that whole side of the kingdom of God was founded. We looked at last week how the kingdom of Babylon was founded, how that, you know, there was Cain and he had a son, and he named a city after his son, and things went on from there, or Ham, actually, sorry. Well, this time we're going to look at how that basically God names a city and begins the whole process. We're going to take a reading, first of all, from Micah. Micah chapter 1. And I'm going to ask, we'll start with, who can we start with here? I've got my list of everybody who's here. Let's see if we can get the folks over in, who have we got? Well, let's get Oregon. The Yeshidas. If you can share for us the reading of Micah chapter 4. And we want to read verses 1 to 8. Now, guys, Micah is in the minor prophets, right? So you've got the major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel, right? And then you get into the minor prophets. And Micah is one of those minor prophets. It's after Amos, after Jonah, you get Micah. Okay, it's before Zechariah. And we're going to read from chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 1 to 8.
Okay, we're ready.
Timothy's going to read it for us.
Okay. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it. And many nations shall come and say, Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and into the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth in Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords in the plowshares, and their spears in the pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up the sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under a fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts hath spoken it. For all people will walk every one in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. In that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. And I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that cast far off a strong nation. And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth even forever. And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion, the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem.
All right, guys, so now you've got your work cut out for you. We had that read for us. What we want to find out now is what we do sometimes in journalism. I used to work for a newspaper years and years ago, and one of the things they taught us to do is when you were looking into a story, right, you had questions you have to ask. Does anybody know what those questions are? I can give you the first one. Becky, you got it. Where? Okay, so let's write them out. We got who, what, when, why, and how, and we'll leave that last one off. Okay, who, what, why, when, and how. Okay, so we're talking about the kingdom of God. Do we have where? Who, what, when, why? How, and you're right, we need where on there. Very good. So on your notebook, I want you to write that out. Leave a little bit of space between each one, or you can do it as we go through it. By the way, just a note to those who are far away. When you're reading, if you have a microphone that's not a headset, you need to hold down the control button to speak. So when we ask you to speak, you've got to press that control button. It kind of works like an old CB radio. You press it down, you can speak. And when you're done speaking, you let it go. All right, so here's our questions. We got who, what, when, where, why, and how. So I'm going to start with a question you should all know the answer to. So the subject that we're looking at is the kingdom of God. So this is the subject, the kingdom of God. The first question I'm going to ask you is, why? And we sang about this in our Junior Elpis Israel theme song. So, why would God want to have a kingdom? Chase. Right. Why is to fill... Oh, here we go. Now I've got to spell again. Can't even spell fill. The earth with his glory. Okay, let's have a quick review on the glory. What is the glory of the Lord? Chafin?
Character.
Okay. It doesn't mean we're going to fill the earth with lovely looking trees, pleasant little streams that flow along, and little twittering birds. Although all those things declare the handiwork of God, his glory is his character. So obviously, if you're going to fill it with his character, it's filled with people who have that character. And that was one of our first classes. And if you want to go back and review that, they are all available on the website, so you can download them and listen to that. But anyway, fill the earth with his glory. Now, I want you to have that Micah passage out, and I want you to tell me the other issues in there. When? When is this going to happen? I want you to give me the phrases from the verses. Micah chapter 4, verses 1 to 8. And there's two phrases that we want to pick out. Jonah? Okay, so when? It's going to be, where was that? Verse 1? Verse 1, in the last days. Okay, can you pick out the second phrase? Very good. Verse 6. In that day. Now, if you're doing Bible marking, okay, if you just had a color you want to use, you can color both those phrases in because they're talking about the same thing. In the last days and in that day. And actually a really good Bible marking exercise is to go and color those phrases in the Minor Prophets. So it lets you know what you're talking about. So in chapter 4, you got verse 1 and verse 6. It's both talking about in the last days. So right away, we're given context. We know when this is going on. This is not going on back when Micah was writing, because he didn't live in the last days. Because that was like 2,000 and change ago. I'm going to maybe 2,500, 2,400 years ago, something like that. Yes, Shapen. Not in blue, no. We were using blue for the kingdom the other night, so use like a purple or a whatever, and just another color. I use purple in my Bible because that phrase comes up over and over again, and it's something you might just underline just to make your mind think about the who, what, where, when, how, why, and how. Okay, so that was the easy one. What is taking place? I want you to give me phrases out of this. What is happening? I can move over a little bit. Yes, I can. There you go. Sorry, Nick. I make a better door than a window. Yes. Very good. Okay. So the what is the house of the Lord is going to be established. Apologize, Jamin, you have to kind of see sideways. Okay, the house of the Lord is going to be established. Now, what is the house of the Lord? Anybody know what the house of the Lord is? Tally? That would be the temple. Okay, so we have the temple being established. So this is the kingdom age, and we're going to have the temple that is established. Okay, so that's the one thing. Go through this section, read through it, and tell me what else is happening here. There's a bunch of things that are going on. That was the first one. Okay, so you got people. I'm going to put this up here. People are coming up, first of all, right? Many people are going to say, come and let us go, right? And they're going to be taught right? People are going to come and they're going to be taught. What else do we have in this one? Chloe?
The Lord shall reign over them.
Okay, very good. We have the Lord. Now, what is the Hebrew word for Lord? You guys remember that? Yahweh. Right. Very good, Becky. Now, even harder question. What does that mean? Yahweh. What does Yahweh mean? Nick? It is God's name, but actually what does the phrase Yahweh? There's a Hebrew meaning. Shoshana? Very good. Okay? So we have he who will be. So this isn't just God. There's more tied to it. He who will be, and of course we looked at this in classes gone by, he who will be manifested or shown in all the people who inhabit the earth and who have his character, right? So this is talking about God himself, Yahweh. It's talking about his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's also talking about the saints who are joining him in his kingdom, right? So we have he who will be, he's going to reign. What else does it talk about in this? Well, I'm going to give you a clue. Verse 3, what does that talk about? Tally? He's going to judge? Well, actually, judging and reigning. I should put that in there. It's kind of a similar type of thing. He's going to judge and he's going to reign. Okay? Verse 3, what does it say in verse 3?
Okay, so you've got swords into plowshares, spears into pruning hooks.
So we're having a retooling session going on in the kingdom. What is that going to bring about?
and there's not going to be war, then what do we have?
Peace.
Very good. Okay, so we have world peace eventually. So that's something all of us want.
In fact, there is a statue outside of the United Nations that has a picture of somebody with a hammer beating a sword into a plowshare. But, of course, the United Nations isn't able to do that because men are not able to bring about peace, because to have peace, there's a little thing you have to have first. A bit of a sidebar, which I should never do, but I always get in trouble for doing this. Let's just turn. Let me see if I can find it, first of all, before I send you all on a wild goose chase. Okay, I'm not going to take you there because I can't find the exact phrase. But you can just write this in your margin or in your notes. And it's this little phrase, world peace, as I wrap myself up in a cord here. Just a minute. This could be fun. Go for a ride. There we go. World peace. There's a little phrase, the fruit of righteousness is peace. And that's from Isaiah. And that'll be your homework. One of them is to find that verse, then you can write it into your notes. The fruit of righteousness is peace. So in order to have peace, you have to have righteousness. So the United Nations wants to have the fruit of righteousness, which is peace, without righteousness. They're not interested in people doing the right thing and living the right way. They're more interested in just having the fruit of righteousness, which is peace. So that, of course, isn't going to work. We need to have righteousness in order to have peace. So that was the other one, was peace. Let's keep going, though. What else is going on in this passage? Micah chapter 4. I'm going to give you a hint. Let's come down to verse 6. What's going on in verse 6? Apologize. Stephen?
The Lord said, will I establish her that ages?
Halted.
And I will gather her unto his heritage.
Okay, so there's two words we want to key on. Bring out of room here. He's going to assemble, and this was verse 4, and he's going to gather. Who is he going to assemble and gather? Anybody know? It doesn't say it explicitly in this verse, but it's implied in the context. Shoshana? Right, Israel. Very good. So we have Israel, and she is the woman that halteth. She is going to be assembled and gathered, which makes sense. We'll look at that in a minute, because you need the people back in the land in order to have the kingdom, right? So what else? There's one other thing I wanted to pick on, and that is... let's just have a look here. Maybe we need to look down. Let's look at the last verse. Verse 8. It actually gives you the word we've been talking about. The kingdom is going to be established. Okay, so that's a lot of stuff that is going on in Micah. That's the what part of it. Assembling Israel, the kingdom is established, the house of the Lord is built, people are coming to be taught there. Yahweh, or the Lord, is going to reign and judge. There's going to be world righteousness, and all this is going to happen in the last days. And the reason is to fill the earth with his glory, or his character, as the waters cover the sea. Now, who? Who is going to be involved here? We actually looked at some of that in the what. Who? Who are the people or the players that are involved? Chloe? Okay, you got Israel. That's what's given to us here. Jamin?
Christ.
Very good. You've got Christ, who is the king. Yep. Chase?
Us.
The saints, very good. And there's one other group of people.
Oh, God.
Well, there's God, yes, but there's one other group of people in this. Who are those people that are going up?
The
nations, right? You got the nations. Okay, so that's the who of this verse here. Okay? Now, how is there going to be peace and righteousness and people going up? What's going to cause that? Look at Micah. We actually talked about it in the what, but how is it going to take place? Why are people going to want to go there? Just like, you know what? There's a great deal. Travel agency's going to give you good fares, and you can, you know, it's a cheap place to go on vacation. Is that why? And how people are going to get there? How are they going to get there?
So the Lord can teach them His ways?
Right. He's going to teach them. Okay, that's the how. That's the reason why people want to go, is that God has taught them. If you think of the kids at school right now, if you go to a public school, which some of you do, if you were to turn around and say, hey, guys, we can all go to the kingdom of God. Who's coming? You know, how many people would raise their hands? Not a whole lot of kids, right? You're probably going like, pardon me. You know, some of them think you're going to have to get in a spaceship too because you got to go to into the atmosphere somehow. But no, not a lot of people would want to do that because they don't know anything about it. So they have to be taught. Okay, the where, that's the last one. Where is this all going to take place? Jerusalem. Okay. Also called Zion in this passage. But I want you to notice something else in there. Jerusalem and Zion, yes, but look at verse 8. There's two things that are talked about here. It says, unto Zion, the daughter of Zion, unto thee, or thee shall it come. What do you have? What's coming to Zion? First dominion. So I want you to write this down. So unto Zion you've got the first dominion. And then you have the kingdom. Okay, the first dominion is basically the kingdom. But then if you've got a first dominion, you have a second dominion too. There's no point in telling you have a first unless you have a second. Now, I'm going to ask all you Canucks, you Canadians, what was the original name of Canada? Now it's just called Canada. But what was it called before it was called Canada?
Canada.
Canada. No, that's not what I was looking for. Canada. C-A-D-A-N-A. Nope.
No.
Nope. It actually was Canada, but there was another phrase in front of it. No, you're close. It was part of. Very good. It was called the Dominion, and this is just an example, Dominion of Canada. Okay? Whose dominion was it? Who reigned over Canada? Oh, we got a question here. Yes. Yeah, it is actually recording. What it is it takes a while because there's so much going on for it to graphically. As long as you've got the little green things backwards and forwards there and it's moving, you're okay. Okay, dominion. Whose dominion was it? Whose dominion? Jamin, you were talking about this dominion of Canada and you almost called it something else. British what? British colony, but it was called the British Commonwealth, but it was another word even grandiose than that. There used to be a Roman one too.
Empire.
Okay. So you had the Dominion of Canada, which was part of the British Empire. And of course, for you Americans, the Americans were colonies of the British Empire, who of course rebelled, right? They were drunk with the frog spirit wine of France, and they all decided that liberty, equality, fraternity was such a brilliant thing that they were going to shed the yoke of the British Empire, which probably at the time wasn't a bad idea, but nonetheless, We were actually in, where were we? We were in Boston a couple of weeks ago, and we were at the house of Paul, I was going to say Bunyan, but it was Revere, wasn't it? Yeah, Revere, right? And Paul Revere, of course, was one of those people who led the rebellion and participated in it and had the American colonies leave the British Empire. But having that idea, right, you had Britain, which was a kingdom, and it had a king and a queen, right? And so there you had over in Britain, this little island, freezing cold North Sea, or the Atlantic Ocean, right, where it rains all the time. These bunch of people who drink their tea with their pinkies up and have funny little accents, right, they reigned over America. And they reigned over Canada. That was the empire, right? And then Canada, or America jumped out first. Canada then became independent, semi-independent, because it's still under the queen. That's why if you put your finger or your hand in your pocket, and I don't have any money on me because I'm broke, but if you pull your coins out, you would have the queen's head on the back of your money, because this is part of the Commonwealth, part of or a remnant of the Dominion of Canada. So when we're looking at this verse here, you're talking about the same thing. The kingdom, the place where the king is going to be and he's going to reign over the world, not like the British did, unfairly and looking after themselves first, but in righteousness, okay, he's going to reign from where? What is going to be the first dominion? The place where the ruling of the world is going to take place. What's it called? Amy, go for it. Where is the Lord Jesus Christ going to reign from? Jerusalem, very good. Also called Zion, right? Mount Zion, Jerusalem. That's the first dominion. Okay, now we're going to look at a couple of verses and just to see how this is going to grow a little bit. Let's go to Daniel chapter 2. It's a good little passage. Daniel chapter 2. And Daniel chapter 2. Jesse Andrews in London, if you would like to read for us Daniel chapter 2, and we want to read verses 44 and 45. So Daniel chapter 2, verses 44 and 45, and Jesse in London, and that's Ontario, just in case you think people are up in the middle of the night in England. No, this is London, Ontario. So Jesse, if you're there, if you could read for us Daniel 2, verses 44 and 45. Not there. Nope, we don't have Jesse. Okay. Who can I pick on? Chase. Oh, Stephen volunteered. Stephen, go for it. Daniel 2, verses 44, and then Chase, you can read verse 45. Yes, Daniel 2, verses 44 and 45.
In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to the other people, but it shall break in pieces of crossing all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever.
Okay. Forasmuch as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in the pieces the iron, and it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof.
Okay, so you see here, remember we're talking about this kingdom in the last days, right? What were we reading about in Micah? What was the time period? In the last days. So it's the same time period. Same thing is going on. The God of heaven is going to establish a kingdom, right? And that kingdom, it says, is going to grow. It's like the little stone that became a mountain and filled the whole earth. And it's going to break in pieces and consume all the other kingdoms of the earth. So all those European nations that are trying to make themselves a great name for themselves, they're all going to be destroyed. And they're going to be basically constituted into the kingdom of God, if anybody's left around there. The same happens with Canada and America. Oh, great, we've got our own nation. Well, you're not going to have it for long, because the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come along and he's going to remove the government, probably a very good thing. All its corrupt government is going to set up his own administration here. So his kingdom and dominion is going to grow. Now, quick review. Kleenex. Do we have any Kleenex so we can wipe the whiteboard down? Somewhere in here. You going to get some? Okay, we got some on our way. Okay, so you guys can recount for me anyway. Give me the elements of a kingdom. Thank you very much. What are the elements of a kingdom? Let's list them off one person at a time. Caleb.
People.
People. We need the people. Who are the people? Just a minute. Who are the people of this kingdom?
King.
Just say it out loud.
King.
Jesus.
Jews,
right? It's the children of Israel. Chase, very good. Next
king.
Item was the king, okay? Who is the king?
Christ Jesus.
The Lord Jesus Christ, right? What is the third thing that you need, Jamin?
A land.
A land. What's the land going to be?
Israel.
Land of Israel, right? And it's going to grow out from there. What's the fourth thing?
A capital.
Capital city. What is it?
Jerusalem.
Jerusalem. The fifth thing you need to have a kingdom?
Rules.
The law, right? And what's the law?
The
word of God.
The word of God, right? There's actually a sixth thing.
What? That's not fifth.
That's not fifth, Gene.
There's a sixth thing. You've got a king.
But does he do it all by himself?
No.
No, what else is with him? Rulers, right? It's not actually going to be the angels. It's going to be the saints, the believers. But that's good. They're the rulers. You need all the other administration, and that's going to be the saints. Okay? So this is just to add to your thing. We're going to go to Matthew. Okay? Matthew chapter 19. This adds a sixth element into this kingdom. And we want to read verses 27 and 28. Matthew chapter 19. And we want to read verse 27 and 28. And David Stiles from Detroit. We're going to give you a second. If you can just turn your microphone on. It's Matthew chapter 19, verses 27 and 28.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yep.
Yes, we can.
Okay. Then Peter answered and said to him, "See, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have?" So Jesus said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit in 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel."
Back into Micah. I should have told you to keep your finger there. Should have kept one myself, too, for that matter. Okay, guys, settle down. Micah. And we'll go back to chapter 5 this time. And I just want you to notice something about chapter 5. This is in context of the same thing. Verse 2. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. And let's see if we can have the Virginia group. I want to read verses 2 and then verse 8. Micah chapter 5, verse 2 and 8. If we could have the guys in Virginia read that, or the girls, I should say.
Yes, we can hear you. So if you guys want to read for us, Micah chapter 5, verse 2, and then verse 4.
And no one's going to read it.
Okay. 4 and 4.
But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrata, Bethlehem, sorry. What?
Sorry, no, that's
not Here he is. Okay. And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of...
Okay, Noah, you actually had the right one. The girls are leading you astray. Not only are they putting up to you to read, but they're also leading you off. It is Micah chapter 5, and we want you to read two verses, verse 2 and then verse 4.
That was their fault.
No, was it Noah? Read.
But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrata, shall thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. And he shall stand and see in the strength of Yahweh, in the majesty of the name of Yahweh his God, and they shall abide. For now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth.
Okay, very good, Noah. So there we have two things. So tell me, verse 2, who is it identifying to you? What's it talking about? Micah 5, verse 2, who are we talking about here? Who is it? Who's the person? Nope, not Judah. Judah's the tribe. Bethlehem Ephrata is the place he comes from. Who is the person? Well, I know it's thou, but who's the thou? I want you to use your minds now. All we've been talking about, who? What's he going to do? Does it tell you what he's going to do in this place? Verse 2, does it tell you what he's going to do? This guy's coming from Judah, and what's he doing? Ashley? It's Jesus. Very good, because he's the ruler. Out of you, he's going to come forth who's going to be the ruler in Israel, right? So this is where the ruler in Israel comes from. He comes from Bethlehem. Now down in verse 4, how big is his kingdom going to be? Tells you at the very last part. It's going to go to the very ends of the earth. Okay? Now, I want somebody from here to read for us. We're going to read verses 5 down to verse 8. So, Jamin, if you want to start.
Micah chapter 5. You already read, did you?
No.
Okay, very good. You're reading. Micah chapter 5, and we're going to start at verse 5, and we're going to read down to verse 8. So, Robbie, you'll be next. Micah 5, verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. So, Shannon, you'll be ending. You may begin.
And this man shall be the peace when the Assyrians shall come into our land. And we shall tread their palaces, and we shall raise up against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men.
And they shall waste with the sword the land of Assyria, and the land of the Nimrod, and its entrances. Thus he shall deliver us from the Assyrian when he comes into our land, and when he treats within our borders.
And the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people, as a dew from the Lord, as the showers upon the grass, that tarrieth not for man, nor waiteth for the sons of men.
And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people, as a lion among the beasts of the forest, and as a young lion among the flocks of sheep, who as he go through both treadeth down, and teareth into pieces, and none can handle it.
Okay. So,
who is the person here? This man. Who do you think he's talking about? Remember verse 2? It's the one who's going to be ruler in Israel. Okay? So, this man, okay, that would be Christ. So, write this down. This will be in your notes. You've got this man. This is the who. And it's going to be Christ, the one who is ruler in Israel, from verse 2. Okay? Now, what he's doing is he's making war. You've got somebody that comes into the land. It's called the Assyrian. Okay, the Assyrian. Now, what were we looking at in our last class? We We were looking at the kingdom of Babylon, right? Well, the kingdom of Babylon is in this area of Assyria. You got the Assyrian-Babylonian Empire, right? Assyria-Babylon. Latter day, it uses the word Gog to describe it in Ezekiel chapter 38. So you've got Gog, the Assyrian. What's he going to do? It tells you there he's going to come into the land and tread down our palaces. So this man is going to raise an army. Seven principal men. There's only seven. That's a symbolic number. It's a perfect number. It's going to be the army of the saints. And what is the place that they are going to destroy? I want you to look at that verse and see a name that you remember from our last class. Nimrod, right? So this is Nimrod. And who was Nimrod? What did he found? The beginning of his kingdom was Babel. He founded Babel or Babylon. So see these verses here in Micah 5. This is the setting up of the kingdom of God. In order to set up the kingdom of God, you've got to destroy the kingdom of men. So he's going to destroy Babel or Babylon, right? That's going to be wiped out and deliver us from the Assyrian. And it goes on to tell you how that the remnant of Jacob is going to be like a lion in the midst of sheep, right? Think of a little flock of sheep and a great big lion comes ripping out, tearing them all to shreds. Well, that's what Israel is going to be like. The captive Jews who are throughout the world and they've been persecuted, the Holocaust and all those things, they're no longer going to be lined up in striped uniforms for people to destroy them. God now is going to empower them and he's going to be with them and he's going to lead them. And those people who want to destroy them are going to be like the Hamans of the world. They're going to be dangling from ropes and that'll be the end of them. He's going to establish the kingdom. And anybody who steps in his way, just like that little stone smiting the image, is going to be ground to powder. So we want to make sure we're on the right side of things. So that's the kingdom of God that's going to be established. And to do that, he has to take out the kingdom of men. So the thing we want you to get out of tonight's class is, when the kingdom of God existed in the past, you had David, right? Solomon, all the nations, right? They were subdued. The Philistines, Ammonites, Moabites, Canaanites, all the other ites, not the Hutterites, they weren't around then, but all the other ones, right? They were all those nations were subdued. Now, when Babylon comes along, the kingdom of God ends. And the Babylonian Empire is in existence. When the kingdom of God is going to be put back in place, tells you right here in Micah that the kingdom of Babylon has to be destroyed. So we have the two things. They can't operate together. Why can they not operate together? There's a fundamental law, like the law of magnets, right? That they can't be there together. What is it? They don't mix, right? What's the verse that we started with?
That looks at that. Right back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, there's going to be enmity, hostility.
Those two things can't operate together. You either have the kingdom of God or you have the kingdom of man. Now, I want to jump to the New Testament because you want to look at Acts chapter 28 because the kingdom of God is what the disciples are running around teaching everybody all about. So this has been the Old Testament we've looked at, right? But we want to look at now the New Testament because this was the subject of the gospel, of what they were preaching. So Acts chapter 28, and we want to read verse 30 down to verse 31. And let's see if we can have Uncle Gary, if somebody from California could read that for us. Acts chapter 28. Verses 30 and verse 31.
And Mark, I'll read it. Did you say 31, Jonathan?
Yes, I did. 30 and 31. Both 30 and 31.
And Paul dwelt 2 years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ,
with all confidence, no man forbidding him.
There we have Paul preaching these things. And then, Uncle Gary, if you can have maybe John read for us verse 20 as well.
For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, as that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain.
It's John and Martha. So here we have three elements in these verses. This is the gospel that Paul was preaching, right? It's called the kingdom of God. It's the things concerning the name of Jesus Christ. And it's the hope of Israel. So those three things is what they were looking at. Now, although we don't have time to go any further than this, we're going to actually stop here. I want to end with one other verse, and that's in Galatians chapter 3. We had hoped to get to the first part of the promises to Abraham, but then I'm always kind of ambitious. So Galatians chapter 3, this is going to be our last verse for tonight, because this is the part that ties this kingdom back to the man Abraham. Galatians chapter 3, verses 7-9, and let's see if we can have, who do we have left here? See if we can have the folks in Indianapolis read that for us. Maybe Caleb or Sasha, the Plews. If you could read for us Galatians chapter 3, and we want to read verse 7 to verse 9. Yes, we can. We can hear you fine.
Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God was justified by the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, and said, indeed shall all nations be blessed.
I did tell one little fib. It's not our last verse. But I just wanted you to see there that this is the gospel, right? This is the good news of the kingdom. Oops, can't even spell gospel. It's getting too late in the night. Must be time to end. The gospel preached to Abraham. Okay, so that good news that we've been reading about, this kingdom of God, was preached way back to Abraham. And that's what we're going to look at. It might not be in our next class because we've got Uncle Michael Grady here. It might be in the one following. So the last verse for tonight is going to be Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. And who's here?
Chloe,
can you read that for us? Hebrews chapter 11. You thought you were
getting off tonight, didn't you? Just the last verse. Hebrews chapter 11. And we want verse, not verse 6, sorry. It is going to be verse 16. Hebrews 11, verse 16.
Now we desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city.
Okay, very good. So God has, in this verse, he's prepared for them a city.
So the preparation of the kingdom of God goes right the way back to the very beginning. Kingdom of God, kingdom of men, we have the promises to Abraham. Those are the foundations or the preparation for this kingdom of God that we saw today is in opposition to the kingdom of Nimrod, right? Babel, which was the founding of the kingdom of Nimrod. So that's where we're going to go in either, if not our next class, the one afterwards, is we're going to start. But what I want you to do, since you all now have your worksheets, I want you to do for homework, worksheet number
is the promises to Abraham.
First one. You could do number, if you've done already, then you could do number 7 as well. Do number 6 and 7. And there is the catalog of the promises that I would like you guys to start working on as well. So see if you can get that together. There's Bible marking that goes with that. Guys at this end, if you could just sit tight for a minute, we can pack up everything afterwards, okay? There's Bible marking as well. I want to do something a little different tonight. We're going to close with a word of prayer. And I'm going to ask Uncle, let's ask Uncle Gary Suggs if he could do with that for a moment. And then afterwards, I want everybody, both who's listening in from far away and here, just to stay on for a minute, because we're going to talk about our next couple of classes, and then we'll have some time that you guys can chat for a little bit together.